12 verse 35 is where we'll start. A servant worth serving. I'm going to give you this morning one of the wildest pieces of scripture I think that we're going to read, and I hope you agree with me. The idea of Jesus Christ once again serving me in any capacity that doesn't have him seated on a throne with a crown telling me what to do just feels out of place. It just feels out of place. I told you before, John chapter 13, when he dresses himself like a slave, he dresses himself to wash the feet of the disciples. I've told you before, that story makes no sense to me. Because if he wanted to teach him service and humility, he was going to do it in the next couple hours on the cross. It was a redundancy of humility and service. And I'm telling you this week that I found one more that just blows my mind. We're going to read it this morning, but I want you to take the concept of service. I really want you to take the concept of stewardship. And I want you just to let that sit on your mind and in your heart. If I tell you something is a stewardship, does that imply any amount of ownership? No. Does it imply responsibility? Does it imply accountability? If I told you right now everything in your life was a stewardship, would you believe me? Every resource, every person, every moment is a stewardship. So I want you to kind of marinate in that thought. Stewardship, stewardship. I own nothing. It's funny, you know, they're pitching in a couple places around the country to abolish property taxes, right? And what's the pitch for that? Well, if you've bought something and you've paid for something, you should actually own it. It's kind of a funny thing to bring in right now. Listen, friends, in the spiritual world, you've bought nothing. You've paid for nothing. You own nothing. It's all a stewardship. It's been handed to you for a greater purpose. And I want to show it to you this morning. Here's the second piece I want you to start messing your mind around. Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven has been given to me. Is that what he said? Is that all of what he said? All authority in heaven and on has been given to me. Ooh-wee. So when you and I read this passage today, I'm going to give you a really terrifying thought. This stewardship and this accountability is not just for Christians. So what's that do for me and you? It says this, that the unsaved that don't know him, that have rule over people, jobs, places, politicians, businesses, money, time, other people, how they treat their spouse, how they treat their children, how they treat you as one of God's children, God is going to hold them accountable for that. He gave them a stewardship too, whether or not they wanted to deal with it. So friend, what does that do for me and you? Number one, it allows us the opportunity to listen to Scripture's command when it says, don't repay evil for evil, but leave room for God's correction. God's wrath. You see, some of you are sitting in here and you're either paying attention to the world at large or you're dealing in a situation with somebody in your life and they're treating you poorly. Maybe some of you will look back in your past and see the scars and the harm and the frustrations that have come because people treated you poorly. They sinned against you. Some of you in grievous ways that you can't mention out loud. This truth applies to those things. Because as much as you and I want to lash out or repay or get revenge or kind of settle that score, you do yourself a disservice by coming like the enemy, by becoming like him to do that. You dishonor the name of Christ. You also remove, some mystical way of saying it, God's judgment from them. Leave room for God's vengeance. Meaning the Lord that saw is going to take care of these things. I am telling you this morning, as you and I look at a world that is out of control with leaders that are horrible people and they run companies and they run capitals and they're supposed to represent you and I and other countries and all of these things and warlords and and sex trafficking. You understand what I'm saying? All of that stuff is a stewardship that's going to be handed back to God, because those people own nothing. They can't gin up their next breath. They are waiting for God's punishment. What I'm telling you, Christian, is you need to calm down about whatever's going on in your life. You need to reintroduce yourselves back to the truths of God. You need to get some of the ideas out of your heart that the enemy is placing there, trying to get you to act like him. You need to let those things go. Because the vengeance that is coming, according to this passage, is worse than you could ever dole out. You see, you and I win either way with our interactions with the world. If you and I act like Christ, and the Holy Spirit uses that to pierce their heart and bring them to repentance and make them a brother or sister, we win. If we maintain our character, love our Lord right, and love them properly in whatever way God is giving it, maybe it's just prayer. They never repent. They never turn. They've been vicious and vile to you. You still win. You just have to be patient with that one, because your flesh wants it right now. Every servant in God's kingdom, every Christian, every person is going to be held accountable for what they've done. Here's the other piece I want you to know. You and I are going to fall into one version, one picture of a servant. Are you going to be faithful? I love that, and I've tried over the years to explain what this sounds like just in my heart, in my mind. Success is not the bar you and I are jumping in the Christian kingdom. Success is not the bar. It's faithfulness. With whatever ministry you have, your five loaves and your two fish, and that's all you got. I always think about the Little Drummer Boy song when I think about this stuff. I have nothing to offer but what? To beat on this drum. That's the bar you and I are jumping in God's kingdom. It's just faithfulness. It's not success. So no matter where you are right now, no matter what your age, no matter what your ministry, the things that you have been given to steward, your family, your friends, your time, whatever resources you have, a little or a lot, your influence with others that you run into at school, at the grocery store, at the gas station, the people you work with. This is the stewardship that you have to offer to God. And the only bar you have to jump is, was I faithful? That's magnificent. It levels every playing field around the world. Whether you're in the middle of Africa or Belarus, or you're living in a mansion in America, it doesn't matter. It levels that playing field entirely, because all you're required to do is be faithful with what God has given. Amen. With the goal being one day that you and I hear, well done. The concept of stewardship has been given to every person. Time, your talent, your resources, people, your very breath are all to be accounted for. So is your platform. You say, well, I don't know anybody. I'm not very popular. How many people do you reach and touch on a daily basis? That's your platform. Some of you are young and it's going to grow. Some of you are going to get promoted and it's going to grow. Some of you are in a season of life where, I don't know how to say this right, your reach is diminishing. It's where we're all going to be one day. Physically, it's diminishing. Time or whatever, it's diminishing. That platform that you still have, you're still accountable for. As a pastor of a church, one day I'll look back and say, man, I used to preach at a church with 200 people. And that may be sitting in a nursing home with three. Transitions happen. Increases, decreases, what you and I are required to do is to be faithful with it. To honor God with our gratitude for the moment that we're in. Look at verse 35 with me as we start to read this morning. If you missed last week, I would recommend you go back up to 32 and just read that sweet verse. Just while I'm reading, you can do it right now. Verse 32, just read that. Just kind of let your heart set on that. Just love that truth. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What are you worried about? Stop worrying. The best of heaven's already been given to you. He will not withhold anything else good. He didn't even withhold his own son. It's his good pleasure to take care of you. Look at verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who were waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants who the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, this makes no sense to me. He will dress himself for service, have them recline at table, and serve them. This feels like a Peter moment. Remember, Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and he gets to Peter, and he's like, no, no, Lord. No, I need to wash your feet. You need to not touch mine. Like, I can see this playing out in my life because mine look like a pterodactyl is standing on them. Like, they're nasty. No, Lord, don't touch these gross things. Can you imagine that? In the midst of all of the glory of Jesus, he comes in, the master returns, and this promise is that he is going to dress himself, like you and I would say, in the kingdom. He's going to humble himself one more time. He's going to dress himself like a servant. He's going to seat us in the most honoring places he can, and he is going to serve us. Does that not fascinate you? We serve a God like that, that loves us that much, that again and again and again, he goes above and beyond to show us that love and that care. Verse 38, if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So a couple things here about the culture. Number one, wedding feast. We did a wedding yesterday. The amount of commitment we had to that wedding was we drove up the first day and drove back for the rehearsal dinner, and then we went back yesterday, 2-hour drive. Drove up, did the wedding, celebrated a little bit, drove back. That was the commitment that we had. Do you understand Jewish culture was different? You got a week to party. A real celebration. It was so important to them. And I love doing weddings and I love doing marriages because it's a constant reminder to me that what God created first was the family, not the church. Friends, you want to shift things in the right direction, you remember that. You want to see our culture go in the right direction, you have a revival take place of the meaning and the purpose of the family, and watch where God finishes that. Because every time one of you suffer as a family, every time somebody steps out on their marriage, every time somebody breaks their vow, every time somebody comes in and says, we're thinking of getting a divorce, every time that happens, you know who suffers? They do. Well, and their kids, of course. Friends, you do, and I do. Every time that happens, this body suffers. When Satan got the family, he eventually got the church. It just took a little bit of time. So I love that idea. But in the culture, there's a week of celebration. This is so important. It is so good. Now here's where this comes into play. When you go on vacation, are you pretty ready to get home? Most people, I mean, even though we love a vacation, you're pretty ready to what? Day 7, day 8, and it's nice. But you know what? It's just not home. In this culture, instead of waiting another day, they just started walking. About like the servant when the dad shows up and tells the son, hey, go get your bride, and he leaves right then, whether it's midnight or 2 or 3 in the morning, the dad steps in and says, hey, the job is done. You're ready to be a husband. Go get your bride. And Jesus tells that parable too, that blessed are those that are ready for the wedding party. Because here come the bridegroom, and it was midnight. But he wasn't waiting. He was promised a wife. He had done the work, and the father stepped in and gave him the affirmation. You're ready, son. You are ready to be a husband. Go get your bride. And instead of waiting till the next morning, I got to go. Same thing here. He's been at a feast for a week, at least. Time to come back home. I'm just walking, though. I got to get there. I miss my people. I miss my home. I miss my family. And he's walking in. And it says, in the first watch, the second watch, the third watch, or the fourth watch. Meaning, from 6, from like daylight going down, right? From sunset to 9 was the first watch. 9 to midnight was the second watch. Midnight to 3 was the third watch. And the fourth watch would have been from 3 to sun up. Why do you think they had watches? Why were people watching? Because it was pretty unsafe. Some stuff going on. And if your master was away, what were you hoping for? Imagine being the one to open the door. Glad you're home. We've missed you. What can I do to help? And we hate words like slave and servant and other things, so this is just totally missing us. But if the Apostle Paul could say, I'm a willful slave for the kingdom of God, you and I need to understand what that looks like. I want to honor my king. I want to honor my master. And if he's walking in the dark down a dangerous road and I see a flicker of something far off, if I go to meet him with a torch, with a procession, with people, how do you think that's going to make him feel? And the Bible says, be ready because he's coming. Be one of the ones that are serving and ready because he's coming. Listen, there are certain types of servants you and I can be. You can be the faithful one. Hey, you can be the lazy one. You can be the ill-prepared one. If you go to the parable of the talents where Jesus gives, he tells the parable where he gives each one a talent and one goes and invests it, right? You remember that one? He makes 10 talents back. He makes this fortune back, brings it to his master. He says, well done, good and faithful. He gives another one. He goes out and invests it and makes 5, brings it back and says, well done, good and faithful. You've done a great job. And he gets to the third one. And the third one said, I knew you were a hard master. I didn't want to lose what you had given me. So I buried it. And I brought it back to you. What you gave me, I have buried. I have increased nothing. I've done nothing with it. And I brought it back to you because I knew you were a rough person. Listen, friends, you and I can be a fearful servant. We can be lazy. We can be ill-prepared. We can be fearful. And many, many, many in the world are the wicked servant. We're going to read about them in just a minute, but I just want to let you sit there for just a minute. What kind of servant can you and I be? What kind of servant are you being in your life? What kind of servant am I being? Because listen, the Lord is coming, and the time is unexpected. But let me give you the inverse of it. It doesn't matter if it's not in our lifetime because we are going. You understand? Like we have any ownership of the next 5 minutes. We are foolish in that. So whether he comes or whether we go, it doesn't matter. The timing is his. Pastor Don used to talk about all the time, a ready person never has to get ready. This is the wisdom of an old man shuffling around. A ready person never has to get ready. You don't have to plot and plan and be ready to meet him. You and I need to live our life like we're going to because you are. He's going to split the clouds and call us home one day. Or like Psalm 23 says, we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and there our Lord is going to be to take our hand and take us home. In those moments, the only thing we're going to want to have said is, man, you had a really powerful this, or you had a great that, or boy, your car was nice, or your house was nice. Boy, you sure were hammering them hobbies. You were doing great. Boy, I'm glad you were ascending in your business, and all these people knew your name. You know, the only thing you and I are going to want to hear is, well done. Unless you're ordering a steak. Cow died for nothing. You can make beef jerky. That's going to be the only thing our heart cries for in that moment. I wish I could get us to focus. I wish I could focus my heart on that. Of everything in this life, the only thing we're going to want to hear in that moment, you're going to want to hear two words. Two words. Well done. Everything I gave you to steward, you managed in my name. You loved people well. You solved their problems. You fed them. You took care of them. You did it for my glory, and you did it for their blessing. Read with me just a couple more verses and we're going to wrap up today. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Listen, is that not sweet? Hey, don't miss that. Do not miss what was just said there. This person in charge takes this manager and gives him his most important job. Who are you talking to, Lord? And Jesus said, who is the faithful manager that the one that is leaving, the master is leaving, and he is looking behind him, and he is seeing his most valuable possessions, his family, standing right there. And he says, I'm going, who am I going to leave in charge? Do you understand that? Do you even care to understand that? That wrecks me. Leaving as a father, leaving as a mother. And I know when they're little, we're just trying to beg to get out, so we don't give it much thought. You got a babysitter, boom, gone. I know you're tired and everything else, but I want you to comprehend what you're doing. These are my five most precious earthly things. Take care of them. Think of the weight of that. My whole heart, I'm leaving. I have to go. Something is going on, and I need you to watch over them. You're going to give them their food. You're going to take care of them. You're going to make sure they get to bed. You're going to make sure they treat each other right. And we pay those people like $12 an hour or something stupid. Can you think of a more important job besides maybe a surgeon? Friends, that's the mission God gave you and I. You are his most valuable possession. And not as pastor, and not as elders, and not as deacons, as brothers and sisters in that field of influence, he has looked at you and said, I am leaving them in your care. Phil speaks this morning about bearing each other's burdens. There's that, and there's so much more. Love them well. Take care of them. Serve them. Do life with them. The God of the universe has looked at you and I and given us his most valuable pieces and said, they're yours to steward. Call, love, care, show up, work with, correct when you need to, cry when you need to, love well. Friends, you and I do not have any understanding of how much he loves you and how much he loves his church. We just don't get it. Children of God, bride of Christ, and you and I know, any of you self-respecting men in here know, if anybody messed with your children or your bride, you would blow a gasket. But when they love your bride and they love your children, they bless you mightily. It works both ways. Blessed is the servant whom the master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, you will set him over all possessions. But if the servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come in a day when he does not expect him, in an hour he does not know, and he will cut him into pieces and put him with the unfaithful. Everybody catch that? Anybody get a little scared? Terrifies me. And that servant who knew the master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did not did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. So I want you to think about something with me as we finish this morning. Number one. This is why I think the unsaved fall into this. Because that wicked servant that is dismembered and thrown with the wicked is not a Christian. There's tremendous peace in this idea. And I know it's hard to look at the TV and think, my goodness, all of this evil everywhere. Our brothers and our sisters around the world being murdered and tortured. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And the scariest thing in the world is you and I need to understand he's keeping tabs. And when the time is right and the plan comes together, those that stewarded in a wicked manner will be treated accordingly. Our first prayer for that kind of person is, Lord, bring them to repentance. Let them see, like so many in the past, your people that were willing to suffer, some even willing to die, be mocked and be hurt for your name. Let them see that and want it. Because the world offers nothing like it. Let them see that and want it. That's the first piece for you and I. Justice is coming. We need to stop fretting over it. We definitely need not to try to deliver it. We need to be careful and mindful of what's going on. What's the grand scheme of things? The other thing is this. How are you stewarding what's been given to you? Elements of your life are far more important than you will ever understand, because you and I don't see with the eyes and the heart of God. When you walk into your home and you step in there and there are Christian people there, there are children that you've been given to steward, there is not a more important job in the world than what you do inside those four walls. Second to hear. I'm sorry, this one's second. My bad. Wrong set. Getting too worked up. We got to go. I'm going to say some stuff that's going to get me in trouble or be wrong. What I want you to understand, you do in that house God's kingdom work. You do in this house God's kingdom work. And if you're sitting around constantly waiting for something better or some bigger platform or some more political person to chat with or somebody that's going to help you out or build your life, you are dishonoring God and sinning against him. Because you will miss your wife or your husband, your children, your church, you'll miss all of them. You'll miss the will of God. You are his most precious stewardship, and he has given you to me. You know the crazy part? He's given me to you. He says, this is the way it works. Love them, bear their burdens, do my work. Take it serious. Sacrifice for it. And one day, you will look back and say, I didn't do enough, because this reward was way worth it. Stand with me this morning. As they come to